This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Joy Powers. All this week, we've been talking about the end of the job lines. The bus routes were meant to connect people in Milwaukee County to jobs in the suburbs. But as we've learned throughout the series, these lines weren't functioning the way local leaders had hoped. Ridership was low, and the financial burden to keep them running was simply too high. But the job lines were created to solve an issue that remains a problem in our area, connecting people who need work to the areas where there is work. So how do we move forward? Kevin Muse is the executive director of the Southeastern Wisconsin Regional Planning Commission, also known as SewerPAC. It's the metropolitan planning organization for the seven counties that make up Southeastern Wisconsin. Kevin, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect.
Thanks for having me.
You know, ultimately, this entire series has been about the last mile issue here in Milwaukee, specifically getting people from the central city to the suburbs where there are jobs. But I know this isn't just an issue for the Milwaukee area. How common is this kind of problem in metropolitan areas throughout the country?
It's a significant problem all across the country. In fact, there's some research that shows that in some ways we actually do relatively well in the Milwaukee area compared to a lot of peers at providing access to jobs via transit. And that has a lot to do with our land use pattern actually being relatively compact compared to many, more southern or western metropolitan areas. But all of them struggle with it. I think maybe what's different here is that it doesn't seem like we've gotten too far into trying some of the more creative things that some of the other metro areas seem to be trying. There are definitely some standout examples from across the country of partnerships with private entities to try to solve this problem. And I think that's the sort of thing we could explore further in our area if we had willing partners.
What are some of the options that really stand out to you when you look at different areas around the country?
Sure. There are a few different options that others are implementing. So one was an entity in, it's actually the city of Centennial, Colorado. They have a light rail station, but not really any local transit that connected to that light rail. So they did a partnership with, I believe it was Lyft, that essentially provided people within a certain radius around that light rail station a free ride to and from that light rail station. So they went to the main transit node and they were connecting all of their very spread out different land uses and development to that light rail station with essentially a subsidized trip by the local government and I think in partnership with a few different entities. There are also maybe more applicable in some ways to our metro area. There are some multiple locations across the country where they've replaced lower performing routes or they've extended routes using, again, Uber, Lyft, or in some cases, shuttle van type partnerships. And again, that's the sort of thing where you don't try to encourage people not to take the transit system. You use the transit system where it's efficient and effective, and you meet it there to pick people up and then distribute them to all these business parks or retail destinations or something like that.
And the solutions that you mentioned, they are things that people here are considering. You know, I spoke with someone from Waukesha County, and she said, you know, they're interested in exploring the options of Uber and Lyft, specifically subsidized, that mm-hmm. might be able to connect at Milwaukee County, bring people from the bus routes here, connect them to jobs in Waukesha. But right now, it doesn't seem like that's really an option because of how they are able to spend their money. So can you unpack that a little bit?
Sure. So I think we basically have two problems from a local government perspective in our region, and really across the state, but specifically within our region. We have both a how we can use the funds problem and then just a straight up quantity of funds problem. You know, if Milwaukee County wanted to, or Waukesha County wanted to spend some of their funds on these sorts of services to extend the reach of the transit system into locations where the jobs are, they essentially have fixed budgets. That's due to limitations on property tax increases and the lack of revenue options for local governments. So from their local funding sources, these units of government would essentially have to decide what other places they want to cut services to make room for these additional extensions of the transit service through these partnerships with Uber, Lyft, or shared vans of some sort. And then they do have federal and state sources of funds that contribute to the transit systems. one thing that is kind of undergoing a national conversation right now is there are restrictions on how you use federal transit dollars that basically disqualify using it on these sorts of services. They have pretty rigorous drug testing for drivers and other limitations that make it very hard. It's not impossible, but make it very hard for a recipient of those funds to redirect them towards these sort of partnerships. There do seem to be some areas that maybe are getting a little bit of flexibility with that. So that could be something we could explore with the Federal Transit Administration partners on whether or not that's a possibility. But those are real challenges. I mean, there's a whole set of regulatory framework that was set up to fund, you know, 40-foot, 60-foot buses running on a fixed route. That's what these funds are designed for. And so modifying those on a national level to allow these sort of partnerships without allowing misuse and inappropriate use of the funds is something that they're always sensitive about.
Yeah. So these are essentially DOT regulations. I know my boyfriend is a UPS driver, and so I know he has very strict rules on when he's able to drive, how many hours he can drive during the day, during the week. Is it those kinds of rules?
It is those types of rules. Yeah, those and others around, you know, drug-free workplaces and things like that. And I'm not suggesting that Uber and Lyft drivers necessarily, you know, are certainly on drugs or anything like that. But the rigorous testing around that, you know, most Uber and Lyft drivers aren't doing this as a full-time job. It's kind of a side gig. And so adding all sorts of layers of testing before you can be approved to be an Uber or Lyft driver is just unlikely to work under that model.
They are very strict rules. I should note, you know, this is not something, you know, that you would expect for a part-time job, which is often.
Exactly. Yep. And that's exactly what it is.
Several people inside of these conversations have mentioned the Joseph Project. Can you explain what that is?
Sure. So my understanding from the Joseph Project is that it's run by a pastor out of Northside Church, and essentially he has put together a program where people show up at his church by a designated time. There's vans available, and they ride the correct van to wherever their job location is. And they, as part of getting ready for the program, they teach them soft skills and other things that are needed to make sure that they're a reliable employee of the businesses that are hiring them. And then the Joseph Project gets them there. They provide the drivers, they provide the vans, and gets them to the businesses and takes them home. It's a great initiative, definitely worthwhile. I would say that the ability to scale that at a metropolitan-wide level to all of our suburban business parks, I think, would be a challenge. That would be a lot of resources that entity would need. And the program, I think, really relies on some personal relationships with the individuals to make sure that this is useful to them, too. It's not just about providing labor. It's about getting those individuals' lives in a more stable and positive direction. And some of those types of programs require a lot of coaching and assistance. So that also affects your scalability, too.
A lot of one-on-one attention.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
So, you know, you mentioned Lyft and Uber as being some of the solutions. Are there other ways that people have tried to tackle the issue of specifically connecting suburban transit to transit in the central city? Because we do have buses that are in Waukesha County, but they function in different ways.
Yeah, I think that probably has more to do with the history of the origins of those systems. Both of the systems, well, the Milwaukee system was actually a private company first. Waukesha did once upon a time also have a private bus company, but that stopped operating and there was a pause before the public service started. But they were both intended to serve the areas that their jurisdictions are in. So back when Milwaukee County took over the transit system from the private company, most of our metro area jobs were in Milwaukee County. So it wasn't really a concern that those jobs were outside. The connectivity between those systems, there is a location where those systems connect. They both serve Brookfield Square, and you can make free transfers between those two systems at that location. Many other metro areas have regional transit agencies that maybe think about the system in a more comprehensive manner, so that those transfers and that perception by the public of whether or not it's a different system is more seamless. And we don't have that here. So that does make a difference.
And is that something that would be possible to create? If Governor Evers said tomorrow, you know, this is a priority, I want to create a regional transit board for the Milwaukee area, is that something that he could do?
So there are options under state law to create transit commissions that go across municipal or county boundaries. but they are not able to generate their own revenue. So we would still have the same struggle of we don't have enough funding to actually provide the level of service that maybe some people are desiring for the metro area. We'd still struggle with that issue. The concept of regional transit authorities typically does assume that there would be some sort of dedicated funding source, like a sales tax or something like that, that would go directly to that transit authority. That's currently not permitted under state law, so it would require action by the state legislature as well as the signature of the governor to get that to happen.
Well, and it seems like that's the case in a lot of the solutions that we would ultimately be looking at, some kind of change at the state level.
Yes. I mean, part of this problem is just straight up a revenue problem. We don't have the funding that most metro areas of our size have. And because we don't have that funding, it limits our ability to be creative and try these different types of solutions to see which is the most efficient and the best solution to serve a certain area.
Yeah. You know, Sewer PAC has its Vision 2050. It's this larger regional plan for transit. Where did these kinds of issues fit into your larger plan?
Well, there are specific recommendations in the regional transportation plan about connecting essentially the entire urbanized part of the metro area and trying to build that connectivity. The plan mostly focuses on making the system faster and making sure it covers more areas. And when it comes to covering more areas, there are specific recommendations around providing creative solutions to suburban business parks. Because we know that in many cases, and as we've seen with the Route 57, it's not terribly efficient often to run a 40-foot bus through a single-use type commercial business park. There's just not that much activity happening in that business park. There's not much there other than the jobs. And so you want to make sure to provide access to those jobs for residents of the region, but you're not going to be filling a bus doing that. And so the kind of things we've talked about with shared taxis, shared vans, whether it's Uber, Lyft, or another entity, are part of the regional transportation plan and part of the solutions outlined there.
You know, ultimately, a lot does need to change in order to fix these issues. I recognize there's no silver bullet in this case. That's something that a number of people have said. But how do we make a more responsive transit system?
Sure. So looking at that less from like a governing structure perspective, because I think the Milwaukee County transit system and all of our transit systems in the region, frankly, do quite a bit with very little. And they're also extremely efficient relative to their peers. So they're a pretty good expenditure of taxpayer dollar compared to peer transit systems across the country. But putting that aside, I think that there is an opportunity to look at who are the beneficiaries of anything we pursue and see if there's a way to marry maybe philanthropic interests and the businesses who are benefiting with labor force, as well as maybe a bit of either state or local contribution on a small level to kind of manage it and make it cohesive to build a solution. There is, at the Regional Planning Commission, we've been working towards trying to develop those solutions, kind of piecing things together. We have an initiative called the Workforce Mobility Team, where we are trying to work with businesses that are interested in solving these problems across the region to provide better access to those jobs and increase their labor force pool. But I think there really is a struggle to find a comprehensive solution without enabling local governments to really take it on. And so that's a real challenge. But I do think we can make some progress without that still.
Yeah. Well, Kevin Muse, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect and speaking with me today.
Thank you for having me.
Kevin Muse is the executive director of the Southeastern Wisconsin Regional Planning Commission, and he wraps up our series on the end of the job lines. You can hear segments from the full series this Saturday and Sunday on Lake Effect Weekend, or you can head to our website, wuwm.com, to hear more of those stories.